November 6th. At last I submit unconditionally to the Holy Universal Church and approach the tribunal of penance, renouncing all of my base theories, all of my sins and sinful inclinations. Through the mercy of God, I am strengthened in this resolution by the following ideas. 1. An aversion to placing on others burdens which I cannot bear, and teaching what I myself do not fulfill. 2. Otherwise, I would not have certainty in anything, and would abolish all faith. One person would reserve this freedom for himself, a second person another freedom, and Christ, the Church, would be torn apart, overthrown. The Church judges what are the essential matters of universal law, and the Church makes decisions in their regard. The faithful should submit to these decisions without hesitation. Where there are children and more mature persons, there are degrees in understanding and in freedom. The mature, having greater freedom, should mercifully make less use of that freedom. This is the main principle of the Church and Christianity. 3. Later, in my mind and in my heart, I felt I had the right to forgive sins, to purify, which belongs solely to the universal Church, to the successors of the apostles and priests. This is something in which I never cease believing. And I was filled with the desire to submit unconditionally, later striving for clarification with regard to laws and doubts, in order to receive so great a benefit. 4. Finally, after prayer, God in His mercy allowed me to feel the full iniquity of my life, and even, through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin, all of the loathsomeness, egoism, and revolt against God and impurity. And with this feeling came a very great desire to be reconciled with Him in the sacrament of penance. 5. Faith, as well as a reminder of the necessity of sanction in the future life for good and evil, the reality of the spiritual world and a person's relations with it, the efficacy and absolute need for prayer, also urged me to make this act of complete submission. O great God, why, after I failed to cast these evils out of my soul, did I not experience its consequences? Why, wretch that I am, did I dare to disregard so many inspirations, so many invitations? Into what an abyss was I hastening? I intend to make a confession from the time of my return to the Church 3 years ago. The sins which I have to confess are so great, I am afraid I do not have the strength to occupy my mind with remembering the details, before I have first accused myself of them in general. Remember the special obligation to correct those faults by which I have succumbed to the greatest scandal. Serve God in a way worthy of God. If I do not, and will not, make a very particular and very strict designation of my obligations and occupations every week and every day, if I fail to be earnest about fulfilling this designated arrangement confirmed by my confessor with the greatest accuracy and perseverance, careful to observe even the minutest details of this order, I will be lost, once again becoming careless, lax, proud, carnal, idle, disorderly, and sinful. Save me, O Lord, through the passion and the merits of the most merciful Jesus, grant me the graces I need. Grant, O Lord, that I may very carefully observe and fulfill these resolutions with which you inspire me. What right do I have to counsel others, to govern them, if I cannot counsel or govern myself? Always, whenever thoughts or feelings of pride come along, remind yourself of one of your sins, and that the most degrading. Why, up to now, have I failed to realize so many holy resolutions? There may be other reasons. However, among the principal reasons is this, that my mind was constantly distracted, occupied with a multitude of matters, and because material difficulties were forever fiercely weighing me down, and continue to do so even now. This results in internal anxiety and spiritual distraction, weakness and disability on the part of the will. Thus, my primary obligation after confession is, as far as possible, to limit my occupations, goals, projects, and works, and take them one after another, keeping a written general, weekly, and daily order for that purpose. In daily prayer, ask God most fervently to help me observe this limitation very strictly. This is a condition sine qua non for the success of all other reforms and fulfillment of other resolutions. Second, definitely strive to earn money for present needs, as well as for the partial payment of debts, and avoid contracting any and all further debts. Thus, first think about ways to earn money. Prepare these even before returning to Paris, and choose among them, keeping a constant watch on some. The less certain and the further removed, these can occupy me only after the definite means, and as secondary to those. It would seem best, after prayers, to set aside at least a half hour for mental prayer, and there, etc., cut off all unnecessary works. Ask God, and make a serious effort, to make this retreat and confession in such a way that I will be ready for death and to stand before God. And so, cast out of my heart all sorrow and bitterness, and conquer all evil inclinations, master all bad habits, conquer and stifle evil thoughts, quiet all anxieties, and fall in love with the Lord and the Most Blessed Virgin. To this end, first ask the merciful God to free me from empty reveries and base languor of the flesh. Beg God to take my life after this confession, if it is not to be for His glory, and only preserve it if it is to be dedicated to Him and Him alone. Remind myself of my resolutions on my birthday and the occasion of beginning a fourth decade. Consider this retreat as meant to put an end to my disorderly life up to now, and to begin a new, completely orderly life. It would be unfortunate if I were to begin this retreat with mind distracted and heart unmortified. The purpose of my retreat, to amend my life and finally get to know myself and God's plans for me, the essence of my inclinations.